Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Philip and Petter, as we dive deep into the complex world of financial markets and home trading. Today's episode is sponsored by BizIntra Financial Academy. BizIntra offers sponsored trading programs that have been developed by professional traders. Don't pay a fortune to learn how to trade. Simply sign up by using one of their partner brokers and receive trading education and signals by institutional traders. Make sure you log on to www.bizintra.com/two blokes for everything related to the markets. You won't be disappointed. Go, Petter. What?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Jackass featuring Philip Hennigan.
Yes, welcome to Jackass. You see, this is how we start things off. We just like press the record button and whatever happens, happens. We have no intro. We are not professional at doing these podcasts whatsoever. If you listen to any other podcast, you'll hear people have perfect, beautiful intros, but we just go with the flow because we just don't care too much. We just get straight down to the we like to just chat, you know, like two lads.
That is utterly bullshit, Philip. We discussed before we started this podcast who was going to do the intro, and Philip said he was going to do it, and then he just leaves me hanging.
Now, if people don't believe that bullshit.
Anyways, what is going down, people? How are you doing, Philip? I have a feeling that the summer has arrived in Ireland as well.
Oh, you want to see the weather out here at the moment. It's lovely and hot. I'm not sure what temperature it is right now. It's currently nearly 10 to 7 in the evening on the 9th of the 7th. And I'm sure it's about 22, 23 degrees, perhaps, something like that. It's lovely and warm out. Anyway, I'm just back from a pretty hectic day in the office dealing with financial advisors of hell and funds of hell. And that's where I've been at. So what a busy day I've had. What about yourself? I'd say it's actually hotter in Norway, actually.
It's starting to heat up now. I think we had the first real summer day yesterday, at least here in the east part of Norway. So it's starting to ramp up on the temperature scale. But yeah, it's been lazy days for me. I've just been out riding I bought one of those electric skateboards. So a longboard.
Yeah.
And, so I've been flat out on that just when the weather is good. It's like, Jesus, it's like snowboarding on concrete, Philip. You really have to try it when you're over next week.
I'll give it a go. Oh, yeah, that's mad. I'm in Norway next week, everybody. I'm going to be over with Petter, and we're going to, as I said, I'm going to test out this longboard of his.
We're going to have the first two blokes trading meetup in Norway.
That's actually pretty serious. And actually, I may be there for bromance as well. So
bromance is Tuesday, Philip. You're one day short.
Oh, shit.
No. But I'm sure we can make something work for you as well.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, let's get into right down to business.
Let's get to the crack.
Let's just start off with just taking a quick look over the economic calendar and if there is anything that I see that's worth discussing. Obviously, today, we'll start from tomorrow because I think fun starts tomorrow. Certainly late at night, if you guys are up from 1:30 in the morning, consumer price index. So I just, you know, I never really realized where all of our audience are from. And some questions that have come through on the Slack group have been from people from Australia and places like that. So you guys are trading Asia time. So CPI out of China might interest you. So certainly the most interesting currency pair coming out of that region at the moment is dollar CNH or dollar yuan or renminbi, whatever you want to trade. And then second in line is obviously yen. So, and there's plenty of volatility around yen at the moment, especially with volatility in gold present. So so CPI coming out year over year for June out of China, not expecting any change, but it's worth watching. And if you see it, obviously a number more bullish or bearish or different from consensus estimates, it'll cause volatility. Next, obviously, then tomorrow at 2 p.m. GMT, Fed Chair Powell testifies a speech. I don't really know what that means by saying testifies, but however, I haven't done my homework. So there's a speech by Fred Chappell tomorrow. Probably best to keep a close eye on it. Anything that's coming out of the US at the moment is a volatility potential red, I guess you could say. So yeah, my all eyes on the US tomorrow. Same with Canada. I don't know if you guys are big CAD pair traders, but interest rate decision out of Canada, consensus estimates say they're not going to do anything. That's probably right. I don't see any change in the interest rate decisions and then a press conference after. So honestly, I don't really pay too much attention to that currency pair all that much. So if you guys do, that's fine. If your position's in it already, just be mindful of what tomorrow's news coming out, sorry. And then 6 o'clock in the evening, FOMC minutes. Really important to keep a close eye on that. Again, as I mentioned, volatility, any news coming out of the US right now is heavily scrutinized. Everybody has their eyes focused on everything US related. So coming up to that news announcement, I don't expect much volatility. But I expect maybe afterwards something pretty, unless there's obviously a miss in earnings or, sorry, not earnings, sorry. If there's like if there's some obviously news related announcement that the market hasn't predicted, you know, it's going to cause some volatility. So let's just wait and see. It's probably something I'm going to tune into and actually watch live. Thursday then, July the 11th. Do you know what keeps pinging up on my screen while I'm trying to bloody well talk here is the Slack group, actually. So I'm going to close the Slack group. So apologies for that. Next to that, we have on Thursday, we have CPI, ex-food and energy, and also Fed Chair Powell speaks on Thursday. And that's all the fun that's happening in the role of news for the following week. So that's it.
The role of news.
Yep.
It's always so delightful to listen to you talk about the news, Philip. It's always like a fairy tale.
I have a new plan. Never have the Slack group open while you're trying to talk. Does that ping on you as well? I wonder if it's come true in the headphones. I don't know.
Yeah, it was poor Half-Light. Or did I pronounce that right? Half-Light? It was he was trying to get a grasp on when the podcast was out, and I was just responding to him. So,
There
you go. Well, thank you very much for the role of news, Philip. It's always very important to stay on top of it if you are trading, just trading in general.
Yeah. News is really important. I don't understand why people don't focus on news. You know, it's like fundamentals are news, you know. Anyone who says I'm a technical trader, I would say Petter's a really, really technical trader. If he sees news announcements coming out, he's going to be, you know, cautious. So
I wouldn't say that, actually. Like, I'm cautious about, like, the big ones, so rate decisions.
Of course,
NFP, FOMC, stuff like that. But,
we don't bother our arse with. Like, that's why I filter to just the stuff that's going to move markets. If it's not a potential risk, don't care.
Well, of course, and for anybody of you, and I know, of course, scalping is a... There are a lot of people who are scalping the markets, and when you're operating with stop losses that are that small, of course, every little bit of news is going to affect your position. So, but my positions are generally a bit bigger. So,
yeah, same as myself.
But that's that. I'll jump straight ahead to my weekly watch list. As I wrote in the Slack group, I felt a bit that way, that the markets were a bit, are we going or are we leaving state of mind? We've got a lot of overextended runs, a lot of counter trend moves, and for my own style, like, I wasn't getting that much confirmation from the lower time frames, which I used to sort of pinpoint where I think the market is going to turn.
Yeah,
I basically had a lot of euro and sterling crosses on my list, and the ones that I liked the most probably was Euro Aussie, and I ended up taking a trade on the Euro Aussie, and that was the 8th of July, so that was Monday, I think. Yeah, so yesterday, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you went long enough yesterday. Yeah. That's a good trade.
Yeah, so it goes to show that planning has something going for it, and if you have things on watch, like, you won't miss it. And even though I said when I wrote the weekly watch list on Sunday that it wasn't showing me anything. Like throughout the Monday, it started to progress and it was starting to give me like little clues that it was going to have a little bit of a reversal. So yeah, I grabbed that one for some decent profit. Got out a bit too early though. I had my targets a bit lower and it ended up having a nice little massive run. A nice little massive run. That's
a nice little massive run, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it ended up running a bit further, but that's the way it goes. You know, we're interested in the effects over time, you know. So like I said before, it's never about any one given trade. So just keep consistent, boys, and you'll get there. But yeah, that was basically what I've had on since Monday. I am looking at Sterling pairs right now because they're starting to form some interesting patterns. So we'll just see how they progress throughout the day. But yeah, that's basically what I have been looking for this week, Philip.
Very good.
What? How about yourself?
Well, I'm very looking at very, very few markets. But on currency-wise, like, I'm still I just want to give an example for everyone to look at. For anyone who's unsure of what we mean by overextended runs on a daily chart, just take a look at Euro Sterling from from the 8th of May to where it is now. That's a good example of an overextended run. That's just my opinion. God, begging for a pullback. If you get any bearish price action, this would not be a bad trade. Now, I was only saying to Petter beforehand, give you guys an example of stop losses, the size sometimes that I would take. I would consider a stop loss. I'm not saying take this trade, but this is something that I'm, you know, I would say, like, putting a stop at like 0 spot 9120 to take profit at 87.50. So you have plenty of room to breathe. Your stop losses are above 2 at the previous most major highs. That's the sort of size of stop loss that I take, but my positions are large. So not like I guess like I lever up quite a bit. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm trading a huge account or anything like that. I just mean that I take quite a sizable position for the size of my account, I guess you could say. But that's not trade advice, anyone. Don't take the trade. But aside from that, look at there's nothing really else that stands out for me. I stare at the bond chart every single day. I look at all bond yields. And you know, obviously then I look at the TLT ETF, still praying for a pullback. The dream is of course a pullback to 129 on TLT. US 10-year yield, it'd be awesome if we could get 2.3%, even 2.350. Jesus, that would be just a screaming to short 10-year yields. Other than that, on the commodity side of things, I'm not really interested too much in, like, because I like to be long dollars, I just, you know, I guess I can't really be long gold, and certainly not long here anyway. If I was to take a trade based from technicals, I'd like to see a pullback at least to, like, I've had a line for the last God knows how long at 1360 spot 20 on gold daily chart. So maybe you bounce off that for a short-term trade. Potentially happen is it could bob between 1360 and 1400 for a little bit before the dollar bull market really takes off. But when that dollar bull market really takes off, that's when gold, you know, I don't believe in the whole, I don't necessarily think that it's going to happen straight away where I don't see the gold and the dollar as in rising perfectly together, like as in some analysts believe. I think that, you know, I think gold rises versus other currencies, but versus the dollar, I can't see gold. And that would be just, can you imagine if the gold and the dollar rose together at the exact same time, like moved perfectly together? That would mean there's more money flowing into gold than there is the dollar. And yeah, you know, it's possible. I could potentially be wrong, but I'm just not really. I'm just going to play it off the correlations and that have, you know, been in place for so long and proven time and time again that, you know, with the dollar increases, gold decreases. And I'm not saying that it doesn't decrease, you know, against other currencies. I think gold massively outperforms versus the euro and other currencies, as I said in the previous podcast. So, you know, that's one way of playing it. You know, people don't necessarily have to play XAU USD, which is the spot gold price versus the dollar. You could just obviously play gold versus euros or gold versus something else or other currency. So, well, as long as your broker obviously allows you to trade it like that, do it. That's my opinion. Aside from that, not really much else I'm looking at really in the market. Bitcoin, just because it's you know, it's interesting to me. You know, there's an interesting guy. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. What is the guy's name? The technical analyst, who's like 40 years in the business, and he's.
Brandt.
Peter Brandt, that's the one, yeah. Peter Brandt's a really interesting...
He got flared on, or he flared like a news channel, I think it was yesterday, because they grabbed something, a quote he said about Bitcoin having, or a big potential of an 80% correction in Bitcoin, and then they totally skewed his whole tweet, and he got furious on Twitter.
Something else.
I've never seen him that mad before.
Yeah, for an old guy. like 40 years. I think he is 40 years in the business, so it gives you an idea. And he must be in the business since very long, because I don't think he's in his 70s or anything. Say he's in his 60s, all right. But Peter Brandt's opinion of, you know, if the Bitcoin doesn't, what they're saying is the next parabolic phase of Bitcoin. So I think the best way to look at the Bitcoin chart is on a logarithmic scale. And then you can see each parabolic move. So he's estimated the next parabolic move could potentially be up to like the 100,000 mark. You know, look, it's possible. Anything's possible, but who knows? But he also says if it doesn't, you know, correct, if it doesn't like break higher, he could see an 80% potential collapse from here. So on percentage terms, an 80% fall from where we're at now would bring Bitcoin, Jesus Christ, actually Bitcoin down to like $1,800 a coin. I don't see that happening. I think he's kind of wrong. But look, listen, I've been wrong several times and not perfect, but given the current economic environment that we're in, I just don't see people, you know, getting out of Bitcoin. Unless the people who are already invested in Bitcoin are, you know, have money elsewhere and they have to get out simply because they are owed money or something. I just don't see it. I don't see a Bitcoin falling 80%. Like, if we were going to have a serious crash in Bitcoin, I think possibly it comes back down to 5,800 and then bounces from there. That would be like if it bounced from Bob Drown from there, that would be like the mother of all inverse head and shoulders as well. So bear that in mind. But anyway, that's pretty much all I'm looking at the moment. Nothing really else in the markets. Like I said, I don't like to be long euros. I was long euros there recently, but you know, it didn't obviously pay out too much. I got out of the trade before I would have got stopped out, and then I took a very small profit of like something like 0.5%, if even, you know. So, but not that I care. It was a tester, a little feeler into the market, see if we could get more bearish dollar downside, which didn't come. And now we're back up at resistance, which was previous support on DXY. So let's see if it can break through here. I might could be wrong. Euros could head higher here. Dollar could sell off. So really important chart to keep an eye on is obviously the DXY. Where we are at now, I would put a horizontal resistance at the moment at 97.57. Draw a line through that, you know, and just keep an eye on it from here, because all it needs to do is break higher here, and then, you know, that's euro dollar below 1.12 anyway. So if it breaks higher here, I'm fine support. It's, you know, I've been wrong before, but it could potentially head below, higher and above the most recent previous high of 98.40, I think it was, 98.41. And that's very, very bullish for the dollar. So keep that in mind. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I agree on the dollar, Philip. I had my, on the DXY, like 96.80, I had a crucial level there. And if it broke through, then I think that things are starting to turn around. So totally agree with you on that one. Cool. And the gang, so let's jump straight ahead here. We've said we were going to answer a question from
Slack. Now's the time where I have to reopen the Slack group and I hear bing every few seconds on my headphones. You guys don't hear it, but I do, and it can be kind of distracting. So let's have a look. Let's go to questions. That's how it is.
The question is from, let's just call him Dan. So yeah, Dan the man. I'll just read out Philip and we'll just progress as it goes. So hi all, I have been thinking about this question. How much percentage gain profit do you think makes trading worthwhile as opposed to investing the same amount in a general market index, say like the S&P 500? I was talking to a friend who works for ASIC, which is the Australian Security and Exchange Commission, and she thought the risk and difficulty of trading makes the practice almost harmful. For me, I see trading as a worthwhile skill to learn in its own right. Partially, the reason I got interested in trading is that ideally it should be a recession-proof in a scenario of another 08 crash where the big indices all got smashed. Yeah, that's basically the gist of it. Interested in what sort of percentage return makes the difficult progress and of learning and succeeding in trading worthwhile to continue.
Yeah, it's a decent post. I particularly like the part where you said, I'm happy. Well, actually, you want to start this and you start off and I'll respond after. So I'll just go off on a tangent.
Cool. Well, I think this is a very individual question for everyone who has stumbled into the path of trading. And I think at first you sort of get blinded by the flash lifestyle and everything that follows. But after a while, like if you don't give up, it becomes something more. And when I say something more, I mean, you understand how hard this profession is and it sort of becomes a challenge sort of. And, it goes without saying that being able to do something that 99% of the ones who start out is not able to do is lucrative. But of course, there are like stages of profitability. And I think what Dan was referring to was how much would you have to make a year to make it worth your while. So I'm just going to start here and I'm talking in percent per year. So that's clear. The option of quitting for me at any stage was not there. So I didn't have any specific, if I don't make this amount this year, et cetera, I would quit. So it was either I did this or
I remember you saying that to me actually, either I win at this or I die.
Yeah. That's basically just a quote I got from Will Smith. He has a really good quote about that one, but yeah, it was simply something similar. And I've told you guys before that even though I'm happy with the progress I've made, I don't view myself as a tier one trader yet. I still make a lot of mistakes and I know there's still a lot I need to learn. So just to answer your question, Dan, for my own account, for it to be worth it for me, it will be a minimum 100% per year on a $2 million account. So that's my number. So, and then as the account would like compound, I would naturally scale down my risk afterwards. But yeah, once I hit that goal, I'll sit down and, smoke a fat Cuban and say it was worth it.
I agree. Now my turn. And I want to kind of go through the... I'm going to actually pull my microphone a little bit closer. I just want to go through the message that was written anyway. So let's see. I'm actually pretty happy with the part where you said about being recession-proof. Like when I first got into trading, as Petter mentioned, you do get kind of fascinated with the flash, and I think I had a vision board at one stage where I could look at the dream car that I was going to buy and all these sort of things, but that all kind of changed. And I don't think in pounds, pennies and shillings or any of that sort of thing anymore. I think in percentage terms about everything. And I have a similar view. Like I'm different. Like I don't want to retire. I don't want to, I want to retire when it's retirement age, like in my 60s, I guess. I did the whole sitting at home trading the markets for several years on my own. And I highlighted that in a previous podcast where there comes a time where, for me, I'm a very social person. Like I have to be chatty with people and interact with people. And I eventually realized that I wasn't the type of person who was a day trader, because, you know, you find yourself at home a lot on your own, and I just didn't like that. So I much prefer taking longer term positions. And, you know, that's why fundamental trading suits me an awful lot better, because short term trading, I just don't have the time to do it right now. And I like the social interaction. So if I was making 100% returns consistently every year on even a very large account, yeah, it would want to be a pretty large account to make me want to stop working also. Maybe I would consider going part-time, but I would still have to have some sort of a job just for that social gathering, social interaction with other people, in my opinion anyway. So I guess I'm not really sure how that answers your question or not, but let me just run through the rest of the question. So obviously, the other thing about you mentioned, I'm just going to reread it out, which is how much percentage gain profit do you think makes trading worthwhile as opposed to investing the same amount of money in the general market like an S&P 500? Well, here's the other thing. Being a short-term trader and being a trader in general, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people who trade on their own. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't for me to be a day trader because it didn't suit my personality. But there are other people who are, you know, I know very, very social people who are short-term traders and day traders, and they're fine. But the beautiful thing about being a short-term trader versus just investing in an index fund or a mutual fund or something like that is you have the ability to go long and short and get in and out of positions. So if the market moves, like put it this way, for how many percent is it from, was it about 35%, I'd say, from here for the US S&P 500 to go from where we're at now to 4,000? You know what I mean? So if we go 4,000 S&P 500, people are like, oh my God, you know, that's crazy. It's at 4,000 or something, or maybe more. But you can get in and out of positions the whole way along, all the way up, without having to put that huge amount of capital down, first of all. And you can take advantage of using leverage to make more money. And you probably have, if you're the type of person who doesn't think in money or points, if you think in percentage terms, you could be quite calm about taking positions in and out the whole way up and following that move. But if you bought the fund, or if you bought like, one contract on the S&P 500, it's going to cost you nearly $3,000 now just for the one contract. That's the other thing. So unless you're a type of person who buys the physical contract, you're going to have to buy it on, I don't know, what do they call it? Nano share? What do they call that one, P-Man? You know where you buy it, like what? Nanolots? Isn't it? Nanolots or micro lots and things like that?
Nano?
Yeah, mini micro. Nano. Yeah, or if you trade contracts for difference, you buy the actual contract, which is at the moment the price of maybe $3,000 or something. So that's how much a contract is. So you could buy the contract and just leave it sit there, you know, if you wanted to. But it all depends on what style. That wouldn't quite be my style. Like I bought the physical ETF for TLT, of course, in contracts. But like, the other option with that is I had to put down a big margin. So it all depends on your style of trading. You know, like, just if I could give anyone any advice, just forget about the money in trading. Just try and master this, because if you can master it, you have it for life, and you don't necessarily have to trade every single day. But if I'm the type of person who just sits back and waits for something interesting, and then I'm all of a sudden all over it like the plague. I'm obsessed with it. And then I have cash sitting aside, and like, I already have an income coming in from, I have money coming in. I'm fine. So I just have cash sitting aside, and that cash, like I could take one trade, we'll say, imagine just taking one trade a year and do nothing. But if I got that trade right, like, it pays for so much for me. So it's different. It's a different approach, of course. So I think it's a bit of a roundabout way of me answering it. Does that make sense to you, P-Man?
Yeah, it makes totally sense. And I think what you said about having the skill for life, now you have the the element of analysis. So either technical and fundamental, you have that, but you also have the emotional skill set that it takes to be a trader, which I think that so many people underestimate how important is. You get that. So it's like Philip said, it's hard to like put a hard target as an answer. I only put the dollar amount in there just to make a point that that if I can do like 100% on a $2 million account, I know I can do it with a $20 million exactly. account as well. There's like a little barrier there. But it's different for everybody, Dan, and you just need to figure out your own number and what makes it worth your
while. I can tell I can tell you one thing actually, which I know is pretty sure. I know this about myself. If I had a $2 million account, I would not be worried about risking money on that. Like even risking 1% on a position, it wouldn't mean anything to me because I don't think in money and points. I think in percentage terms, and the risk is calculated. So I don't think about I don't have that worry anymore. Or how much money could I lose? I don't think about that in general. I remember one time, remember when I was talking with Jason McDonald, and Jason was like, it doesn't bother me at all. I've accepted the risk in the position. If I get stopped, that's fine. Forget it. Move on. Next. You know, it doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, of course. But like everybody has some sort of floor they had to break through, you know? So that could be.
Yeah, true. Like they used 10K, to say you had to blow 100K, an account.
100K, like, yeah, stuff like that. But now we're going way a whole different direction.
So let's start talking about tourism in Ireland as well. Will we just start talking about that as well? Let's change the podcast.
That is really shit, isn't it? Change the whole jazz. Well, I hope you got your answer there, Dan. If you have anything else that we can contribute with, just give us a heads up on the Slack group and we'll be sure to give you some responses. But I think that it's we're going to call it now, Philip.
So I guess you can say the goodbyes and then I'll say the goodbyes after.
Yeah. Double goodbyes. All right. Yeah. Well, as always, I'm very delighted that you people are listening in wherever you are in the world. I'm wishing you a good evening from Norway. And I guess I'll see you all next week.
Before we go, next week I'm going to talk a little bit about, I was only thinking about this, alternative investments, which doesn't necessarily mean foreign exchange markets. It can mean, well.
Holy shit, Philip. Like, next podcast, we're going to be, you're going to be here. That's going to be interesting.
We're going to have to do it early. All right, cool. Anyways, well, look, listen, thanks very much, Petter, and thank you very much, everyone, for listening and asking questions, and keep it coming. We enjoyed this very much. Have a lovely week trading.
Remember, directions for getting invites to the Slack group is in the end of the description on this podcast Facebook page. That's where it is.
See you later.
Bye-bye.